I appreciate so very much what has gone before and the way it was presented. And I would ask a continued interest in your prayers for me as I stand before you tonight. Man told me one time, Brother Mark, and I may have said in your presence, he said, the reason I don't like election is because it cuts too many out. And I said, election doesn't cut anybody out, that's what cuts you in. Psalms 139, I'm not improving on what he said, but I'm going to pick up a few things, and I'll not belabor you a long time tonight. But in Psalms 139, Brother Mark didn't speak from this, but he went all around it. Beginning with verse 15, David said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Now don't read that wrong. That doesn't say yet being imperfect. It says unperfect. Now you know what the word unperfect means? That is, he's not telling us about the finished product. Yeah. It's exactly what he said. That's what it means. That's all it means. Today, you and I and God's people, now in the mind and purpose of God, they're just as much in heaven today as they ever will be. But yet the finished product is not there. And that's what David is saying in the long ago. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of thee. Yeah. I hope you see tonight what David, as he spoke as Christ on many occasions, he spoke of the work of God. He spoke of the individual. Listen, we as Primitive Baptists, and I can't emphasize this enough, we believe in individual, personal election. Now, I want you to understand that. Primitive Baptists believe not just in the election of nations, like National Israel was, but we believe in the doctrine of individual, personal election. The Bible says, and Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, and of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I'll tell you, that went from top to bottom, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And the sum of those things is above me. That's above my pay grade. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. When Paul began to preach here, and you notice the terminology that he uses in the book of Ephesians, and I'll run on down the list just a little bit. When Paul begins to say here, according as he has chosen, that means in agreement with, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Listen to the rest of it now. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to to himself. I want to tell you now, my friend, that you are predestinated or predetermined to be adopted literally and physically into the family of God. Now, that's going to come about in the finished product, but I'm going to tell you right now, you are predetermined to that end. All right, now, he goes on and he says this, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us. You know how many times the word us is mentioned in the Bible? Almost 900 times. Now, you know if it's mentioned once, it'd be enough. But 900 times, us, us, us. Who is us? Us is us. Amen. Us, us. When he says this, he says, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In whom? In the whom? Who's the whom? In whom? Christ. In whom, listen now, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Don't you like that tonight? Don't you understand tonight how that as Paul began to preach in other places, go with me back up to the 18th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles for just a moment, and I want to get you a great doctrinal text from right in the middle of this, when Paul was beginning to preach, and he comes in contact with a man named Apollos. Now, I want to tell you, Brother Mark, I believe Apollos was one of the pastors at the church at Corinth. Why do I believe that? Paul said, I planted Apollos water. Right. All right, that's the reason I believe that. His name is mentioned four times in three chapters when you began to read it right there. All right, now this Apollos was born at Alexandria. He was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now I'm going to stop here just long enough, and you put up a stick right here, because I want to tell you right now, this man only knew the baptism of John, which was a baptism of repentance. Some of our people took the position one time, Brother Joe, that John's baptism was not a valid baptism. I affirm to you, John's baptism was a valid baptism. That's all the baptism Jesus had, was John's baptism. The church began with John's baptism. Yes, sir. God's gift to baptize with John. But now there is something better. Now there's something better going to come. And listen to what he says. He says this. He knew only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla, this man and his wife, had heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly. Or more complete. There was something that Apollos had missed, you see. But here this man and his wife expounds unto him the way of the Lord more complete. All he knew was the baptism of John. And the Bible says, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Who, when he was come, now I want you to get this text right here, helped them much which had believed through grace. He helped them much which had believed through grace. Right in the middle of this experience, he makes a doctrinal point that all the Arminians of the world can't get around.
That's right.
He helped them much. Have they believed? By free will? No. He helped them much which had believed through grace. Brother, I want to tell you the first thing. I was preaching a funeral a week ago today at First Baptist Church in Rhinesville, Alabama. And Dr. Cofield came, a good friend of mine. Dr. Cofield said, Brother Ricky, said, I'm going to talk to you if you've got time a little after. He said, come in my office. I said, all right. And he's a good friend of mine. Walked in there and Dr. Cofield said, Brother Ricky said, there's a big movement on among our people that tends to drive people to your way of thinking. And I said, well, I want to tell you, Dr. Cofield, I said, well, what do you think about that? And I'll make a long story short, I try to. And he said, I can't get around the free will of man. I said, well, that's not hard to do. Just to understand that man's will is not free. Man doesn't have a free will. Now, I'll say this, he's got a will that's free, and when he sins, I'll say that much, I'll give him that much. But I want to tell you something, my friend, this brother's already preached it. Your will is a product of your nature. And a will never rise any higher than the nature that it springs from. And your will is touched and contaminated with sin because it comes from a nature that is touched and contaminated with sin. But I want to tell you this, the elect of God at some point are made willing in the day of his power. They are made willing in the day of his power. And Paul begins to preach here, and he said, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom, that is in Christ, he who hath gathered all things together, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, that is again, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. What a wonderful statement. And then he winds it up like this, who first trusted in Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Now, who first trusted in Christ? Now, somebody said, well, the disciples, that won't work. Somebody said, well, I've got the first trust in Christ. Now, let me tell you who first trusted in Christ. God first trusted in Christ. He first trusted in Christ to the degree that he put his family in Christ. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. When he died, they died. When he arose, they arose. And legally and positionally, when he went back to the Father, you're in him right now. You see? Now, we're not there yet because we ain't got the finished product. But I'm going to tell you the promise through Christ is we will be.
Yes. Amen.
When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree. Fulfilled all that was written of him. They took him down from the tree. I want to tell you every scripture that was necessary to be fulfilled. Christ did that. Somebody said the other day, told me, said, the Bible's being fulfilled every day. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know of one promise that yet got to be fulfilled that the Lord can't come back. Not one. You think the Bible's being fulfilled? I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing that's not been fulfilled that would keep the Lord from coming back right now.
Amen.
Not one.
Amen.
No, sir. But I'm going to tell you this. One of these days, he's going to wind it up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You hear me? He's going to wind it up.
Yeah.
That's right. And when he begins to complete that work, and does that work, and his purposes arise, and all that he has purposed will and come to the end, when the very last one of the elect of God is born again, I want to tell you right now, this thing's over, brother.
Yeah.
The very last one.
That's it.
It's the very last one that is born again. This is over.
Yeah.
I affirm to you today that they will believe through grace. They may not believe the gospel through grace, but they will believe through grace. Believe through grace. Now, I want folks to believe the truth. Don't you?
Yeah.
I do. I mean, these men right here. And I've spent 55 years doing the best I could, and I've been a miserable failure in so many ways. I want folks to believe the truth. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm like Bell Telephone. I'm going to reach out and touch somebody. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. But I want to tell you, if everybody believes it, nobody believes it, doesn't change God's purpose, does it? Doesn't change God's plan. Doesn't change it one bit. Why? Because the Bible tells me, and you notice the terminology of the text in this wonderful old text, when he begins to say this in 2 Timothy 2:19, he said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his."
Amen.
The Lord knows, not just recognizes them, but knows them in an intimate way.
Amen.
You know what the Lord said about Israel? "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." Does that mean he didn't know the rest of them? You got more sense than that. It's not what he's saying. "You only have I recognized."
Amen.
You only. That's what he's talking about, his family. The elect family of God. It wasn't they didn't know all the rest of them. No. No. I'll tell you that he knew the devil.
Right.
The devil knows him.
Yeah, right.
But I affirm to you today that the ecclesia, the elect, or that eternal church whose names are written in heaven.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says about it.
Amen.
The church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. That's who he's talking about. "Shed blood of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. For as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord."
Amen.
I'll tell you, that's summing it up. That's summing it up. And I tell you, when the psalmist began to write this, look at what he said. I'll wind this down. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Read Psalms 40:5 if you want a clarification on that. "If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." Can you imagine what kind of thought this man must have had? Can you imagine the very presence of God with him? I tell you, I stood by the bedside of those that I loved, and the doctor would come in and say, "There's no hope." You know, that's a sad statement.
Yes, it is.
No hope. I want to tell you, that's where you were. The Bible says so. Ephesians 2, read it. Without hope. And without God in the world. I imagine Primitive Baptists are misunderstood on the word hope, same thing I know of.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said a hope so religion. I'll tell you right now, I haven't got a hope so religion.
Yeah.
No. I'll tell you one thing. This is what I'm saying to you today. This is a hope that I have, and that is an expectation of a designed end being brought to pass by one who is able. That's the expectation that I have. That's what our hope is. 1 Timothy 1:1. "The Lord Jesus, which is our hope."
Amen.
What more assurance would you have than to have Jesus as your hope?
That's right.
As your expectation. The elect of God, the family of God, is in him, and our expectation is that he will finish the process. He will finish the process. Paul said in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." I like that. That is, he's going to, now if mom and daddy began to work, they're going to have to continue to work. If the preacher started, he's going to have to keep it up.
Right.
I got a better story for you than that.
Yes,
And that is that God began the work, Jesus Christ accomplished the work, and the Holy Spirit applies the work.
Yes. Amen.
And in all of that, God is glorified.
Yes.
You're in Him, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. I'll tell you, you talked about that old spiritual that said, were you there when they crucified the Lord? Somebody said, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. They asked me if I was there. I want to tell you, the only hope I've got of living in heaven is I was there. I was there when they crucified the Lord. And I'll tell you, I'm satisfied with that tonight. I'll drive home behind the log truck across Sand Mountain. It may take me a long time, but I want to tell you right now, I feel good about it. You know why? Because I've got expectation. I've got something, brother, that makes me feel good. I've got something, my friend, that helps me along when I'm having to deal with difficult circumstances. And you know what that is? And that is that if I'm in Christ, thank God, I'm in there to stay.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm in there to stay, that's the bond I have. That's the surety. That's the assurance. And thank God He'll continue that. While I'm not unfinished, I'm on that way to be finished.
Yeah.
The complete work, He that hath begun a good work in you,
yes,
will perform it.
Amen.
Until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.